Okay, go. Another one. Another one.
Hey.
More ice.
Ice is not made out of money here or something. I don't have anything to pour it in.
So. Oh, wait, here. Oh. Have some of this.
All right.
Ooh. Ooh, fizzy. That is pretty fizzy. That is more fizz than we've had around here in many a week, in my opinion. This is podcast number 31, or possibly podcast number 30. It was hard for me to tell, and it was beyond my technical expertise, but it's definitely a podcast.
We're pretty sure we're in the 30s.
And we actually have a lot to talk about today, so let's stop horsing around and get to it. Are you ready to get to it?
Sure.
All right. First, the first thing that I want to talk about is the Instant Pot, and I promise I'm not trying to sell it to anybody at all.
But
I
if came you wanted to buy one.
No. So, somebody has posted on the Instant Pot, the official Instant Pot board where people come to ask advice, you know.
The internet is a strange place.
Well, check it out. Okay, so she says, my son wants to join the military, and his recruiter told him that he had to lose a bunch of weight. And so I'm looking for recipes, and he has he has texture issues, and he doesn't
what?
Like
what
this.
What is a texture
he
issue?
He doesn't like this, and he doesn't like that, and he only likes these very few tastes, and I'm trying to like hide pepperoni in things so that they taste more like pizza. And can you guys give me some ideas for recipes?
Hide pepperoni in
things? And it's not what it sounds like. So,
I hope not.
So a bunch of people helpfully jump in and give recipes and stuff. And then a friend of mine who is actually in the military says, you know, his sergeant is not going to give a fuck about his texture issues. Everybody was angry.
Have these people never seen Full Metal Jacket?
Well, I don't think so. Well, they didn't have Instant Pots back then, is the thing.
Yeah, but
yeah.
They still have basic training.
Well, people were pretty, pretty mad at her, and she was. Her point was that, you know, she's not being mean. She's just trying to save this poor kid some grief and maybe clue in the mother that if the kid is going to join the military, now would be a good time to stop, you know.
Maybe she could go to camp with him.
And you know, and some people were saying, well, maybe he's got some kind of sensory processing disorder, in which case
I don't want him in the bloody military.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
It's not a mean thing to say. Some people don't belong in the military, and that's just a fact. So I was looking for this conversation because I wanted to tell Damien about it. And I searched, as I was searching for it, I found a community called Instant Pot Uncensored. It has 294 members. It says, this group is for Instant Pot free speech. Ask what you want. Respond to what you want. And I said, okay, goodbye, internet, for a while.
So scorned over an Instant Pot that they have to go here?
Well, I remember a friend of mine joining a group about knitters, and it was something like 4.5 hours before there was this terrible turmoil over something, and she had to leave. There was some kind of unpleasantness.
It's always the lowest stakes situation that turns into something vicious.
I know.
It's a cliche, but there you go. I once, at one of the newspapers I worked at, we were covering a story about a fight on the library's board of trustees, and it got to a point where one of the board members, we suspect, TP'd her own house to make it look like the other board members had done it.
Which probably would have been plausible also. I mean,
it's really insane stuff. But yeah, it's always look out for your library trustees, folks.
Look out for your library. I knew a librarian whose name was children's librarian, in fact. And guess what her name was?
Shady Blackwell III.
No. who's Shady Blackwell III? I know that's a real guy.
Yeah, that is a real guy. He was a police chief that...
Yeah.
I just
that's
love
amazing.
He's the third.
Yeah. The shade continues. No, this children's librarian's name was Charlotte Rabbit.
Oh,
isn't
no.
that awesome? Like, what else? You know, sometimes...
She had no other choice.
Names are destiny, I know. What else could she possibly have been? Well, here's an interesting story that I came across. This is in Toronto. This is a very Toronto-ish kind of story. Apparently, there was a... There's a little community, and there's a community garden, and there's a sort of a shortcut. There's a steep hill, and people try to get from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill by taking a shortcut, and it's all rocky and steep and loose, and they keep on falling and breaking bones. Like, it's happened several times.
They got free health care.
Well, that's right. the community looks into it. And they came up with a proposal that was going to cost $65,000 to put in a staircase. So a local guy says, that's stupid. He hires a homeless guy, and the two of them knock together a staircase. It cost him, what was it, like $54 or something like that. he's not currently being charged with anything, according to the story. But, I mean, I kind of see, but you know, it's not up to code and everything. And people are just calling, you know, people on both sides are calling for common sense. That's a losing game if ever I heard one.
Especially in Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have more respect for Canada than I used to, but that is not saying much,
no,
to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
All right. On the other hand, you could be living in China, where apparently the sexual harassment of ladies walking down the street has gotten so bad that there's a trend of carrying little handheld flamethrowers, which are being sold on the internet for anywhere between $14 and $40.
I love that.
They're illegal, because...
I want one.
You can't... I know. They look like tiny little lightsabers. They're like the size of a...
That is so
like the
awesome.
Size of a microphone or a small flashlight.
Wait. Is this why Justin Bieber's not allowed in China?
That's only the beginning.
Okay.
That's only the beginning. So, boy, I don't know. I thought there was more to that story than that. But when
am I getting my flamethrower? That's what I want to know.
Are you with the victim of sexual harassment? Is that what you're trying
to
tell?
I'm going to Alibaba, and I'm going to like order like 1,000 of them.
Yeah. Okay. On a more serious note, yeesh. All right, this is kind of a discouraging news story of the day. Inmates are given reduced jail time if they get a vasectomy. And I don't have it written down here who it's where this is. Do you remember, Damien?
I don't want to say the state out loud. I don't want to defame a proper state. I know it's below the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, really? You think so?
You think
all
so?
Right, so it's
and the higher rates of African Americans incarcerated, mm-hmm. and they get a low, and we're trying to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's men and women. The vasectomy made the headline which makes sense because it's but the women are being offered, you know, one of these long acting implants that sterilizes you for 4 years. And people are pointing out that when you are low income and when you are in trouble with the law, maybe you don't have enough money to hire a good lawyer and maybe you can't pay bail and stuff. So maybe it's putting undue pressure on somebody to do something extremely serious to your body and to basically violate.
You can't make that decision freely.
Well,
you're in jail.
They're being coerced into it.
Of course it's coercion.
I mean, so guess who's defending them? The ACLU. Good for them, you know? The ACLU has a kind
commies.
Of a... They have a little bit of a spotted record, but, you know, sometimes they're
this
right.
This is why
so
you need an ACLU.
This is why you need an ACLU, exactly. And I totally understand that there is a problem of people who are just not... You know, they're having children without even thinking about it once, and they're not bothering to get married, and they're not bothering to take care of their children. And I understand that this is bad for the kids and it's bad for society, but we don't fix it by turning people into...
Whatever's wrong with the community sort of supersedes whatever happened to these people in their lives that they're having children like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the idea is that it's not just...
You're
it's
not,
not
gonna,
pure
you're not
eugenics.
It.
I mean, it's being presented as pure eugenics.
It's pretty damn close.
Well, what they're saying is that it's going to give these people a chance to, just to play devil's advocate, it's going to give them a chance to get back on their feet and have a chance to actually, you know, build up a career for themselves and some kind of life outside of prison without having children to complicate things. Which, to be fair, it does complicate things. It's harder to find a job if you have a baby to take care of.
Who are they getting
of.
Knocked up in jail?
Well, that's the other question. You're right. No, you're right. It is. It's certainly a more complicated thing.
It's straight
but,
up eugenics.
No, I think you're right.
Rich white guys don't go to jail.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, here's some more cheerful story. Little 3-year-old named Eden Carlson was in a swimming pool and drowned.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was underwater for 15 minutes and she was not breathing on her own. She was she wasn't breathing unassisted for. How long was it? A long time, a heck of a long time. And she had serious brain damage. She was unresponsive, and they tried a new kind of treatment. I think Damien, you explained the story to me.
I did, and the details escaped me.
Yeah, I skimmed a little bit.
It was basically they were using oxygen therapy, and at one point put her in a hyperbaric chamber.
Right. She was just getting. Some kind of intense oxygen treatment, and she's so young, and her brain is so capable. I mean, it's producing new brain cells like crazy anyway, is the general impression that I get.
But they reversed the brain damage.
Right, and she's almost back to where she was before. I mean, she was only alive because of machines before, and now she's okay again.
So that's amazing.
Amazing. I can't. That's why we don't have a swimming pool in our backyard. That's one of my biggest fears. Once we have nothing but older kids who don't do, you know, sleepwalking and stuff like that, or don't decide they're going to climb over things to show what they can do, then maybe we can get a swimming pool. But oh boy, so that was some good news. I mean, promising new therapy, and somebody got their daughter back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
That was a good week. We had a pretty good week here. We went to the Boston Museum of Fine Art yesterday,
which was a terrific trip.
Uh huh. Well, it was a trip. It was certainly a very memorable trip. We've been trying to go to the Boston Museum of Fine Art for like 17 years now. Last time I went, I was carrying Lena in a front carrier, and she is 19 now. We don't live that far away from Boston. But I was reminded of why
it's a little bit further every day.
Oh my God! It's and the Boston traffic. What the heck? What is wrong with that city?
I don't know.
I felt like I had to like turn off my brain and just drive like some kind of animal or something.
It was become a torpedo.
Ridiculous. And people were trying. They were really trying hard to kill me. Like they were trying to. Anyway, well, I wanted to talk about the museum, though. I guess I was kind of offended by those. We went to the Egyptian, the ancient Egypt section first, and I was pretty impressed. They had a dog mummy and a kitten mummy,
that was good stuff.
Crocodile mummy and a baby crocodile mummy, and they had something that I hadn't heard of before. It's some kind of little it's this little tiny mummy. It's like the size of a salt shaker or something. It's made out of mud, and then it's wrapped up like a regular mummy, and then it has this tiny little silver face piece, whatever. And it's embedded with wheat. And what they would do is they would put it in, you know, they'd toss it in the bin with all the other stuff that the pharaoh had. And that kills me, by the way. All this fancy stuff that they make for the pharaoh. And then they just, shovel it in there. Have you ever seen
yes,
one of those tombs?
Yeah.
It's just, all stacked up. It looks like somebody's, you know, storage unit or something. Because that's what it was. Because it was purely practical. They thought they were going to need this stuff. Anyway, so what they do is when they would, you know, entomb the pharaoh or whatever the word is, they would water the mummy, the little mud mummy, and it would sprout. And that was supposed to facilitate the resurrection of the pharaoh in some way, just to give them the general idea, or to put life into the air or something. I don't know, but I thought that was very captivating.
Now help me out here. Mm-hmm. Egypt's hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hotter than, say, Athens?
It's a dry heat.
how about say Rome? Are the Etruscans, is it hotter in Italy than it is in North Africa?
I feel like you're leading up to something.
I am, because after the Egyptian, and the Egyptians, they're all wearing clothes in all of their art. They all have things around their bits. They have things around their bits.
Mostly.
And when you get to the Greco-Roman area, it's like wall-to-wall penises.
Okay, but nevertheless... I was
a lot of dong.
And I'm not saying that I'm not a fan in general, but it was funny though, and they knew it was funny. Whereas you know, that was the thing that
struck me. Oh, because then we went over.
Laughed my head off in the Greek section. I mean, there was so much stuff that was supposed to be funny. They had these drinking bowls. You know, these big, wide sort of basin things, and you tip it up, and when you drink out of it, it has these two giant eyeballs painted on the bottom, and it looks like that's your face. And that's funny,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, that's because their gods were... very much part of, their gods were carnal in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when we talk about ancient Greece, we're talking about a very... long span of time, and I think there were, you know, as the centuries went on, there came to be very different attitudes toward the gods. We were talking about this the other day. We were talking about how when we were in college, we used to tease this. We used to make fun of this one particular professor, and we used to say that she actually believed in the Greek gods. And as it turns out, I now also believe in the Greek gods. I'm 42 years old.
Yeah, there's your headline,
and,
folks.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah,
this is why you got fired of by a the podcast. Yeah.
Well, but if you've ever, I mean, we were sitting out. We went for a run, and then we went for a little swim in the evening, and it was raining on the pond, and all the bugs came out. And then the dragonflies came out, and the bats came out, and then and the then fish started to poke their heads jumping, up out of the water, and the frogs were getting all excited.
Oh, yeah. there were some loons, too.
There was something going on there, and it wasn't something that had anything to do with humanity, you know?
Yeah. No, we were the last people out of the water, and it's like as soon as we left, it all came alive. It was silent for a moment, and then whoosh.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was completely amazing.
I could do without the mosquitoes, though.
I could have done. Well, that's why we were in the car. But, well, and the funny thing was, though, that we moved, you know, we were in a giant museum. They've got art from all different time periods. You take, you know, you walk 50 feet, and you've gone 2,000 years. It's very strange. And we went pretty much directly from the ancient world to Greek and Roman revival architecture.
The American,
where it was very faddish for everything to have grape leaves on it and fauns jumping around and people wearing togas and columns everywhere. And
who was that artist? Maxfield Parrish.
Oh, Maxfield Parrish. Don't even. Oh, my gosh. I feel like his art is like an illustration of mental illness. There's something so seriously wrong with it because, you know, we can talk about what it says about a people when they just, it was just like wall-to-wall penises, and I understand it's a little bit strange, but there's something even stranger about taking all the stylized mannerisms of it and taking the juice out of it. Like, what is the point of that? What is the point of dressing everybody up in these fake togas? I mean, they had, you know, we saw the picture of the blonde gal with the fuzzy hair on both sides wearing this insane kimono, and it had some kind of dragon on the bottom of it. And she's
that was Monet.
Right next to all this stuff, they had the Art Deco stuff, which don't get me started on Art Deco, and they had these grotesque Tiffany lamps that looked like some kind of like radioactive mushroom or something. I cannot stand that stuff. It's so ugly. Everything just had to just decorated the hell out of it. You couldn't use any of that stuff. They had these forks and spoons that were just crusted with flowers. It was disgusting. And nothing was intended to be actually used. It was just all for, it was something to pour your money into and something to impress people with and something to show that you've been out of the country. And what for? What's the point of going to Greece if you're going to put a loincloth on? I don't know. Anyway, that's what I got out of it. Benny, the 5-year-old, she had an exciting time. She had such, she was interested. Pick me up so I can see the top of it. And she was trying to figure out, there were the gods and then there were the Egyptians. And I was telling her, this is something that was made 2,000 years before Jesus was even born. And it just blew her mind because she was trying to figure out, like, not only history, but also theology and mythology and everything. She was trying to work out everything at once. And she slept really well the next day. I'll tell you that. She had an exciting time. So, but I don't know what to tell you. It was free day at the Boston Museum of Fine Art, and it was pretty mobbed, but it wasn't too bad.
It's not like free day at the zoo.
Oh, free day at the zoo. That is truly a zoo.
Yeah.
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 Last time we went to free day at the zoo, it was like 103 degrees or something, and I was pregnant.
Most of our stories within the past 5 years, I'm sorry, 19 years, and I was pregnant.
And I was pregnant at the time. But now I'm not, and we're still going to free day, though. What are you going to do? But it was air-conditioned, and I appreciated that. Oh, and let's see. What else? I already talked about the Instant Pot. I don't know. And Corey, this poor docent, was trying to give a tour. She was trying to talk to people about John Singer Sargent, which, you know, what do you have to say? Just look at it, you know? And it was big, you know? So she's giving the tour, and Corey breaks away and ran right into the middle of the group.
Group of old ladies.
Old ladies, and they're like, oh! She's wearing
she didn't want to leave.
Bright
she
orange
thought it was great.
Sundress. Her hair's gone bonkers because it's very humid out. She looks like she lived talking about breaking in from another world. Oh, my goodness, that kid. Well, she had a good time, too.
Right down the road from the Museum of Fine Art is the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is smaller, but still a great collection.
Yeah, it's not only a collection, but the building itself, because the museum was her house. And Isabella Stewart Gardner herself went around the world collecting this stuff and mentoring artists. And she herself would climb up on the scaffolding and direct where everything was to be hung. I mean, she made a nuisance of herself because that was one of the stipulations, was that she would donate her house to the city, I guess, to be made into a museum, as long as they didn't move anything. And everything had to be exactly where she put it. And it's interesting because she had a very different... I mean, you can see it wasn't that long ago, but they had a completely different concept of how art is supposed to be approached. Like, for instance, some of it was very high and you couldn't really see it. So I don't know what that's supposed to signify. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have electric lights either. Yeah. So that is interesting. It's a very... Oh, and you have a good story about the stolen...
In 1990, a couple of guys dressed as cops broke in and stole two paintings. What is it?
I think they stole a Cézanne, maybe.
It was Rembrandt's Storm on the Sea of Galilee and Vermeer's The Concert, and they, along with 13 others, stolen from the Gardner Museum. And if you go there today, the paintings, the frames are still there.
Yeah, they cut them out of the frames.
And the museum has left the frames exactly there, hoping one day to return them.
Well, plus because they can't change.
They can't change the
display.
And they're never going to find it. I mean... I don't think they're ever going to find who did that. This week some guy in West Virginia, of all places, is arrested because he was going onto Craigslist and advertising the Vermeer and the Rembrandt on Craigslist. And the scam was, it was a scam. He did not have the paintings.
Oh, no, he didn't.
No, but he had these other paintings, and if you scraped off the old painting, underneath is the stolen painting. And so he was going on Craigslist and selling it for $5 million.
It was like a scratch and reveal
Rembrandt
kind of thing. Like you pay,
I mean, that's a great
and then
idea.
We'll give you like a Q-tip and you can...
But if you're buying stolen art on Craigslist, I mean, you get what you...
It was worth a shot, though. I mean, who among us has not been tempted... to pretend to sell, well,
$5 million.
So he should have lowballed it.
That's a better deal than the free boat, I think.
Oh, the boat! Oh, they made a Herculean effort to move that boat today.
It was
and
not budging.
It didn't go much of anywhere.
I'm going to figure out something.
It turns out boats are supposed to be in water, and they move best when they're in water, and when they're not in water. They're pretty heavy.
Kind of a pain in the ass, but we're working on it.
Yeah,
I have my crack research team on this, and we're gonna figure something out.
I think Plan B would actually work just as well. We dig out like a divot in the yard. No, not a moat. Like a hole. I'm just talking about a hole.
Yeah, we still got to get it to the hole.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. See, your plan involves me digging and moving.
Yes, it does. And then
I only got one back, lady.
Well, we'll just let that go. I just wanted to point people towards something. Natural Family Planning Week, Natural Family Planning Awareness, whatever, what have you, week is coming up, and I'm pretending that I don't know about it this year because I just can't. So, however, This Ain't the Lyceum. If you don't know This Ain't the Lyceum by Kelly Mantoan. I love Kelly Mantoan, and she doesn't screw around. She never says anything that she doesn't mean, and I really appreciate that, even when I don't agree with her. She's got a couple of kids. She's Catholic. She's got a couple of kids who have pretty severe genetic disorders. They're in like very elaborate wheelchairs, and it's their family. They love each other. They do a great job and everything, but it is a very challenging and exhausting life. And she wrote a really good piece about, it's just called NFP and genetic disorders. And it's just directed toward people who are, trapped in this horrible Catholic hinterland where half the people are telling them, you know, Jesus will understand if you just get sterilized because your life is too hard and don't be ridiculous, do the responsible thing. And the other half is telling them, if you just trust a God, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle, and have faith, hope, and charity, and everything will work out. And in the meantime, you know, they're feeling guilty because they're staying up all night with a child who's currently in the hospital, and they're not taking care of their other child who's not in the hospital. But, you know, they're the ones who aren't trusting God enough.
Right.
Right. So she just gives some really straight talk about natural family planning and about what, you know, what it is that lies ahead of you, the good and the bad. So I think that people would benefit from reading her. Again, it's thisaintthelyceum.org. People should give it a read, and she is just not a she's not a bullshitter at all.
You should include a link.
Oh, maybe I will. As long as yes, I will. Oh, I have one more public service announcement. Papa Gino's pizza is actually not bad.
Very good for a large group.
It is. We went after the museum. We went and got some pizza. We had our 10 kids plus one extra kid who just. One of the kids' friends, who was
someone.
A lovely kid who is very willing to be flexible, which is very much required for a family trip with us. And we went to Papa Gino's, and we were hungry and kind of desperate for food, but it was delicious. And the guy who made the pizza looked kind of like Jack Black's more unfortunate brother. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely had character actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like character voice actor.
Hey,
something.
Buddy. What kind of meat you want? Yeah.
So, I felt like I had something else that I wanted to say about that, but I guess that's it. Well, we used to go to Papa. The last time I went to Papa Gino's is my grandfather used to take us to Papa Gino's when they were in town. We would see them once or twice a year. They would come into town from New Jersey and take us to Papa Gino's, and we would get the footlong hot dog and the endless salad bar. So you could get, like, you know, as much Jell-O and sunflower seeds and cottage cheese as you wanted and croutons.
How much did you want?
All of it. Over and over and over again. And we would go to the restaurant, and he would say, I don't know you, you don't know me. And he would sit at his table, and we're like, yes! And we would go sit at our own table, and it was so much fun. And then when I grew up, I was like, that was kind of weird, actually.
Yeah.
But he
yeah.
loved us very much, but he did not want to sit with us. Which I understand. That's fine. Anyway, so now we're back to Papa Gino's. They did not have a salad bar. I was a little bit sad about that, but the pizza was very good. They had Pepsi instead of Coke, though. I'm sorry about that.
That's, you know.
It was all right. That's right. Okay, so I was looking for a poem for today's podcast, and I came across this poem, and then I had never heard it before, and I wanted to verify that it was actually by who it said it was by, and I came across a kind of a sad post by somebody who's known only as Allison, with one L, on a website called like Summer Furniture and Wicker or something like that, and she says. Writing endless blogs about metal garden furniture can be trying. It's not often that you find something truly original to say, so I hope you'll all appreciate this rare find. And then she shares the poem.
Oh,
she's
no.
writing those search engine optimization pieces
oh,
where you
rats.
Have to churn out 400 words or 600 words, and it has to have these certain keywords in it, and you have to come up with, 12 essays about wicker. And 12 essays, you and I both did that for a short time, and that is some
that is
job. It's nice when you get to stay home with your kids, but it's just, it's a bad way to nurture your spirit as a writer, let me put it that way. So I'm very grateful not to have to do that anymore. So here's to you, Allison. This is Gazebos by Roger McGough. It's spelled McGough is his last name, Gazebos. What I find wanting in gazebos is their herd instinct. They either pose woodenly in clearings, way off the beaten track, or give us come-hither looks from across a gray smudge of lake. And always alone, aloof, they can't even lay claim to a collective noun, a posse, a cluster, a conglomerate. How they ever manage to reproduce is anybody's guess. So I guess we have a theme for today's podcast. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah.
Got anything to add, Damien?
Not at all.
Okay.